Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. All right, so how are we doing today? Good. All right, good deal. So, turn a shift, and we're going to be talking about for the next week, equality and discrimination. Equality and discrimination. If you turn your papers in, you'll get 10 extra points credit. It was turned in on Thursday, so that'll be reflected this week. All right.
For what?
This past Thursday, yes. All right. So that's my one administrative thing. All right, so let's interact with this idea. Somebody read that.
No man or woman is equal to him or herself 1 year from now.
Good. So, let's pick this apart. This quote is from a noted economist, Thomas Sowell, a graduate of Harvard University, PhD in economics, taught at Stanford, wrote several books, Wealth, Poverty, and Economics, Intellectuals, and Society, critiquing charter schools. He had an interesting book called about rednecks, white rednecks. All right. So Thomas Sowell has this quote: "No man or woman is equal to him or herself 1 year from now." So, what does he mean by no man or woman is equal to him or herself?
I think he is saying that you won't be the same a year later.
Okay. So let's unpack that a little bit more, DeMarcus. So you would have evolved. What do you mean? So the state that you are today to a state you are 2024, what are you communicating?
That I would have had some experiences that would change the way I act in a year.
Okay. All right. Somebody else add to that. What is going on that causes me to evolve? We'll use DeMarcus's words. Causes me to evolve from state A, September 2023, to state B, September 24.
Involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Involvement can be an impact to your change.
Okay. All right. Does it matter how large or small it is?
No.
Yeah. I think if your environment is small and you get used to being in a small environment, you're not going to grow as much as you could if you expand out into a large environment, in my opinion.
All right. So we've got evolvement. We've got this variable of the environment in which you're in, all right? So the state of the environment that you're in then has an impact on the nature of your evolvement and the degree of your evolvement. Yes? No?
What do we accumulate for that equal, what do we count, what do we think I don't really understand what the person mean by equal. So what does the person see, or what do they account for as equal?
Good question. We're gonna get there. Okay. That's this whole week. Good question. Am I right then to assume that, I just personalize this, that the Philip today, is he going to be a lesser individual or a different individual a year from now? Am I going to be lesser or am I going to be different?
I need to be different. I don't want to see myself.
I mean, dying, that's like the same.
Okay, DeMarcus says, say it again.
I say I would rather be different because I don't want to see myself lesser than I am right now.
Okay.
I think that's the same thing.
How so?
If you lesser than what you are today, you still different.
Yes. So yeah, but if you're different,
then
that doesn't automatically mean that you're
less. But if you're lesser, that automatically means that you're different.
No, but it doesn't.
I basically took it as him saying, I'm a sophomore right now. So he's saying, okay, basically, if seeing myself less or different, if I become a junior, I'll be different. But if I fail and stay a sophomore, I'll still be less.
But it's still different.
But it's still different.
If you fail and become a sophomore, you're still the same thing. You still a sophomore.
But it's still different because I'm supposed to be a junior.
There is a difference.
No, let's push this. So, Travis, continue to push your argument of sameness, right?
Yeah.
How are you understanding when I'm saying lesser?
I think it's lesser is like, if we're using the term that DeMarcus brought up, evolvement, if you saying lesser is like you devolve, like, let me just put an example to it. Like,
okay.
Money. You can have $500 September 2023.
Okay.
You have $300 September 2024.
Okay.
It's a lesser amount of money, and it's also a different amount of money. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Okay, that's how you're looking at it. How are you understanding when I'm using the word lesser?
Lesser, I'm just thinking that I feel like I'm decreasing. So as of right now, I'm 20. So if I think of myself lesser the year after, I'll be 19. That's how I'm thinking about it. So
okay. So now let's go deeper and move beyond the empirical or using a quantitative measurement of lesser. Now let's be qualitative. Am I a lesser individual last year at this time? Or am I a different individual today than I was last year at this time?
I feel like I am.
How so?
Can you explain that?
Yes.
Because I feel like now, and I would say I've evolved in this, I would say this because I've been around a wider group of people, mm-hmm, and interacted with different types of people, mm-hmm, and taken in those interactions, and I've grown to be more socially aware.
Okay.
I would consider that evolving.
Okay. Somebody else.
So when you say lesser, you mean, when I hear the word lesser,
yep,
I think about below.
Okay.
So I would think probably something that is below human, like
okay,
an animal.
So you're depersonalizing now.
Yeah, depersonalize
okay
it.
So okay,
lesser is almost like an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then different is more like you comparing yourself from now to last year.
Okay.
Because you've changed, whether or not you've grown in any aspect,
mm-hmm,
you've changed. You've changed in age. Mm-hmm. You've probably changed in looks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it.
So let's talk about the change then. So no man or woman is equal to him or herself last year or 1 year from now or a year from now. So this change. So you've gotten a new body of information from now, between now and next year at the same time. How does that new body of information impact you as an individual? For instance, let's say you now have information on how to effectively save money. What impact does that have on you?
The old me wouldn't care.
The but old you would not care?
Yeah, the old me would not care.
Okay.
But the new me, now that I'm like phasing into adulthood, I care. I actually want to start saving. I'm going to actually take that advice.
Mm-hmm.
But the old me always had that advice. I just didn't care.
Somebody else. So you gain a new body of knowledge, more specifically, to effectively save money. How does that impact you now? So it's now September 2024.
So you're saying now I know how to save.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean in the next year, I can, like, what is the word? use that knowledge.
Okay.
And then in the future, or just say a year from now, I might be able to actually buy a car or pay for an apartment. And I feel like that would be a big change, and that's a good change.
Okay.
Okay, during this summer, I actually attended some financial classes and I learned about credits, how credit can actually build someone and it can actually destroy someone. Now I know the disadvantages of credit. I know I need to be very careful whenever I'm going into that. Now I'm not going into that, but when I want to, maybe in the future, now I have the knowledge, I will be more careful because I know the disadvantages is more than the advantages.
Okay.
I feel like even with that, it still depends on where you are in life, not like in the terms of age, but what's currently going on in life. Because using me as an example, I feel like I saved more money before I actually got advice on how to save money. Like now that I actually know how to save money and know steps to take to save money, I feel like I saved money before getting the advice. I mean, save money better before I got the advice.
You feel as if you saved money better before
learning how to save money.
Unpack that a little bit more.
Okay, because like I was saying, it depends on where you are. Now I have a car, so I got to pay the car note.
Okay.
Pay for gas, pay for maintenance on the car. Before, I didn't have that. I didn't know how to save money. But because I didn't have the expense of a car, it was almost as if I was saving money better before I got that car.
Pause. Look at it this way. You have not lost the knowledge nor the ability to save money, right? That ability is there. You have gained an expense. So now you take that information, the saving money, and then ask yourself, what expenses do I have that I probably need, unnecessary expenses do I have that I probably need to trim in order that I can continue to save? All right, that was free. Close parentheses. All right. So, with that, how do we define? How would you define equality? We're gonna go around the table. I'm gonna give you a second. Think on it. Travis. Having the same opportunity. All right. Ashanti.
I think equality is like a level playing field. Like everybody starts at the same level.
Okay.
Nobody is above, nobody is below.
Okay.
Everybody starts at the same level.
All right.
Okay. My definition would just be that
don't know, everyone is getting the equal, well, I would have to explain equal, just the same opportunities as others, and also not the same benefits because not everyone's gonna get the same thing, but the same opportunities to evolve. I feel like that's equality.
Okay.
And the same experience.
Pause. Why did you pull back on same benefits?
I don't know, because even if you give everyone the same opportunity to just say make money, not everyone's going to do it, because not everyone, some people are lazy. That's why I pull back, because even if everyone has the same opportunities, not everyone's going to take those opportunities.
All right. So in your estimation, equality then is the same what? So if you reject benefits, you reject opportunities, how would you understand equality?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. DeMarcus?
I would say equality is everyone getting what they need. So say, for example, if you're rich, you only get what you need. And if you're poor, you get what you need. I don't know how to explain it, but you get the help that you need. So equality, it's like, I don't know how to word it.
But in essence, what your starting point is, the individual receives what is due to him or her.
Yes.
On the basis of need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Say.
I think equality to me is freedom.
Okay.
The freedom to possess something and, freedom.
Okay. All right. What would we say about discrimination? How would we define discrimination? Now, go back the other direction. Say.
Okay. I think discrimination should be withholding some set of people freedom, like holding them back from what they are supposed to have. Yeah. Withholding their freedom.
Withholding freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. DeMarcus?
Sir?
Discrimination.
Oh, discrimination. Discrimination, I would say that it is judging someone based off their background or their race.
Okay. Is there intent behind that? No intent? Uh-huh. I'm just something I'm just going to do?
I think it is an intent. You mean to do it. Like,
okay.
You're doing it because they're different from you. Like,
okay.
They're not the same as you. Or you feel that you feel less if you're better than them.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like an overall definition of like discrimination would just be devaluing people based on like surface-level things.
Mm-hmm. So the moment I observe an individual walking in the room, and I say to him or her, you don't belong in this room.
In your mind, or say it?
In my mind. Because it becomes an arbitrary characteristic. You have slanty eyes. Am I discriminating?
In my mind,
am I discriminating?
No.
No.
I feel that's not discrimination.
Okay. If I verbalize, you do not belong in this room because you have slanty eyes, am I discriminating?
Whether it's mental or not, it's still discriminating. But then I feel like...
I feel like there has been an intent behind it.
I feel like sometimes discrimination is...
Okay.
I kind of feel like it was an opinion. I feel like this.
No, I'm observing an objective fact. The individual has slanty eyes.
If you just tell them they got slanty eyes, it's not discrimination.
It's not discrimination.
But if you tell them,
it's not.
You can't come in this room because your eyes slanted, it's discrimination.
But that's what he thought, though. He said, you're not allowed to be in this room.
That's what I just said. You are not allowed in this room, or you cannot come in this room, or I will not permit you in this room.
That's discrimination.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you just, just think in your head or just say out loud that they have slanted eyes, you just observing it, but it only becomes discrimination.
Okay.
Once you say, "Oh, you can't come in here," or "I'm not gonna allow you in here because of that."
So it's discrimination. If I say you cannot, you're not allowed, you will not be permitted to be in this classroom because of your slanty eyes. If I verbalize that,
okay. I feel like it just depends on what the intent behind what you're saying is, because you're not just going to look at somebody and be like, you can't come here because you have slanty eyes. There's going to be a reason you don't like their slanty eyes.
I just announced my intent.
Yeah, but
you cannot. My intent is to prevent you from being in this class.
For what?
It's not discrimination because you said it in your mind. Okay, let me explain. It's discrimination whether you say it in your mind or not. It's discrimination. This discrimination comes in when you say that they can't do something because of that. So that's discrimination.
Okay.
Whether you say it in your head or whether you vocalize it, it's still discrimination. Because you're still saying that they cannot do something based on
something they can't change.
Okay. But that can change their slanty eyes, correct?
You gonna pay for it?
Do we not live in a society now where a man can become a woman and change his entire physical characteristics?
I don't think they have the slanted eyes surgery.
They do. They got like a cat eye surgery or something.
Right.
Really? Mm-hmm. I have like a little cock eye, like
something. If we now had a scientific technology to transition a woman into a man, thereby making modifications and removals and the like, isn't it also, I can safely make the claim that you can go fix your eyes before coming into this classroom?
What happened if they like it, though?
I feel like that's discrimination.
Okay.
I think you can discriminate based off of things people can change to.
Okay.
Like their hairstyle.
Is there any benefit
from discrimination?
To discriminate?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
How so?
There is benefits. Okay.
Explain.
Let's just say I open up a restaurant.
Okay.
Right? And I say one of the rules for my restaurant is you cannot come in my restaurant with tight jeans, saggy jeans, unkempt, anything. You cannot come into my establishment with a hoodie on, ski mask. You can't be extra loud. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, I'm discriminating against a certain group of people. But no, I'm trying as the business owner to get higher echelon people to come to my restaurant.
Okay.
So I'm benefiting in a way because I do get higher echelon people to come to my restaurant, and you do put an effort and before coming to my restaurant, or you just don't come at all.
Okay.
And that's my benefit.
Okay. Was there any objections to Ashanti's claim?
Not really, but I wouldn't say, I feel like
for your hand.
The more people you accept, the more customers you get, you know?
Yeah, but I'm not trying to get just regular customers. I'm going to get upper echelon customers.
So Catavius does make a economic claim on the negative impact discrimination can present. Mm. Because economists have observed those that discriminate have discriminatory business practices. Now, that discrimination can be based off of whatever, right? It does have an economic impact on them, whereas a business of that's providing the same service, who is welcoming, quote unquote, right, can make an argument they will be more financially in the black than one that's practicing some level of discrimination, right? So we acknowledge that claim. So discrimination, equality, one more, equity. How would you define equity?
Okay, so I know you've seen the example, like when it has the people standing by the fence, and whatever. So that just makes me think that with equality, it's everyone's getting the same thing. But with equity, it's giving more to people that might need more.
Okay.
And then less than people that, less than people that are higher up already.
So there's a correction that is occurring. Would that be a, you're saying in terms of resources, more is given to one group than another group?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
To level. To make them level.
Okay. All right. To make them level. Okay. Somebody else, your understanding of equity. She's nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, for definition sakes, when we're talking about equality, we're talking about the state of being equal, especially in terms of status, in terms of rights, in terms of opportunities. Now, there's an equality that exists between all human beings. So this is what would be an ontological argument, O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y. All right? So that human beings, essentially because they are human beings, because they have consciousness, because they have what is called personhood, they are intrinsically equal. All right? So ethnicity does not matter. Country of origin does not matter. Political persuasion does not matter. Gender does not matter. Intrinsically, human beings are equal. Now, there's different types of equality. There's social equality. There's civil equality. Legal equality, political equality, economic equality. And we'll get into more economic equality when we get to a discussion on John Rawls versus Robert Nozick, when these two philosophers looked at how to deal with economic inequality. All right. Now, this, yes, ma'am.
Can you say that word again that you said? You spelled it out.
O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Ontology. Nature. Yes. Now, when we talk about discrimination, now the primary definition that is used assumes, and I'm reading this, the behavior is an unjust action. That discrimination is rooted in an unjust action. So, quoting, the unfair or prejudicial treatment of an individual or a group based on characteristics such as race, gender, sexual orientation. All right. Now, that's the primary definition. It's an unjust action. But a question becomes, when I ask this, is there ever a just reason to discriminate? Is it right to do so? Is it right to give an individual or group what is due to them? Discrimination.
What?
Sit right there for a second. Let me get through the definitions. Yeah. Now we hear there's an unjust which we more often than not hear about in today's society, that when discrimination occurs, it's for some unjust reason, because they are black, or because they are Latino, or because they have locks, or some different type of hair, so on and so forth. But then the next question is there ever a just reason to discriminate against an individual or group in order to protect the rights of that another individual or group? Now, it was alluded to, what about positive discrimination? So, positive discrimination is, if you've seen the imagery of two individuals running on a track, right? And one individual has, in his lane is clear all the way around, right? In another lane, the individual that is running, there's obstacles they got to jump over or go under, things they have to negotiate, but they have to stay in the lane, all right? For all my track runners out there. Positive discrimination would say the individual who is in the lane with the obstacles gets a 10-second head start over the individual who has a free lane. So some corrective action is being brought in from the outside in order that there would be a quote-unquote fair race.
That's discrimination?
Positive discrimination. Why? Because the individual with the free lane is being discriminated against, but the individual in the other lane with the obstacles, the result of the discrimination against the one with the free lane is giving preference to the one in the obstacle lane by giving him or her a 10-second head start. And so we look at things like affirmative action, or what used to be affirmative action. And then there's just a behavior of preference on the basis of some arbitrary characteristics. Now, when we did some introductory thoughts last Thursday on this, I picked up Travis's phone and looked at his phone and saw this image of this lovely individual, right? And I had asked Travis the question, does she want you to be a discriminator? And your answer was, or maybe we should just call her and ask her, would she support you discriminating against all other women for her? And so then the question becomes, is that a just act? So when we are looking at discrimination, is discrimination wholly bad? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Is it wholly good? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Or is it morally neutral?
Morally neutral. Hmm. This is where the gray area comes in.
Okay.
You love that.
I love the gray area.
And then finally on equity. So we've moved from what would have been posited during the all the way up to the civil rights movement. All right. What was part of the impetus of the abolition of slavery, the impetus of the women's suffrage movement, women being able to vote, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, abolishing slavery, citizenship, and the like. Equal opportunity. Equal opportunity does not guarantee equal outcome. equality would say you have two runners on a track. They both have the opportunity to get on the track. They both have the opportunity to get in their blocks. They both have the opportunity to hear ready, set, get up in the blocks, go off on the gun, one lap. But there will not be a tie for first place. Am I correct? The technology, especially today, can get it down to the 100th or the 100th of the second, right? Equity supposes that those two runners have the same outcome. And if one runner is 10 seconds, if one runner went to USC and one runner went to Philander Smith, now, USC is a Division I school, right? So the quality of the runner at the Division I school, no rejection at all, all right, is a different caliber of runner than the one who would come to Philander. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, any runner could be beaten on any given day, correct? Okay. But more often than not, the caliber of runner at University of Arkansas or USC or UCLA is completely different than the caliber of runner at Philander Smith. But equity would say this, that because the runner at Philander doesn't have a track and has to run around a block, right? Or the school to get his or her laps in, right? Doesn't have the weight room like a USC would, right? An outside entity would come along and say, we will equalize the potential. Right? So that on face value, the runner from USC and the runner from Philander, once the race starts, there should be an equal outcome. The question becomes, is that just? Is that right? Is that fair? So when we come Thursday, we'll be really having our talking hats on. All right, and really engaging with these different aspects of equality and discrimination and equity, and asking ourselves, what role does equality and discrimination and equity play in our society? And should it play a role in our society? Is it just to discriminate against one or many in order to produce a favorable outcome for another group of people? And so we've looked at utilitarianism, we've looked at deontology, we've looked at virtue ethics, we'll be looking at some other ones, care ethics. What ethics are those, what moral theories, if any of them, can produce equal opportunities or equal outcomes? And then I want you to think on, do you want equal opportunities? And how would you arrive at that? Or do you want equal outcomes? But what are you willing to sacrifice to get that? And if you see that one individual does not arrive at the same endpoint as yourself, does that make him or her less than you? or it's different than you? See you on Thursday. Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Phil Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.